If you would please open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take upon the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flames of arrows of evil on. 1. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. This ends the first scripture reading.
Good morning. I'm so glad to see everyone that has showed up this morning. My name is Quinn Swearingen. I go to Martin Milam Middle School, and I'm in sixth grade. I started going to this youth group in fall of last year. Today I'm going to be preaching about the armor of God. The armor of God can and will save you from the schemes of the devil if you accept him for your God and Savior. The devil does everything in his power to use schemes against us. When I was young, Pierce told me that there was no Jesus or any sort of God. But when I prayed to God, he helped me understand that he is really there and that he is the only God. There are many things God has given us as gifts for us to use. We may use the belt of truth against the urge to lie. Many times in my class, my peers want to go to the nurse if there is a pop quiz, even though they don't need to. We can use the breastplate of God's approval to help us make the right decision. The decisions can be as simple as choosing what ride to go on at Hershey Park, or as difficult as choosing to keep friends that do bad things, or getting new friends. Also, we can use the helmet of salvation to glorify Jesus Christ. The most important part to me is the shield of truth, which I use to stand firm in my faith and to share my knowledge and beliefs about God to others. A lot of kids, when they reach middle school, start to lose their faith in God. Unfortunately, some kids haven't even been introduced to Jesus, which is why I think God gave us the shield of truth. I haven't lost my faith because I go here to church and to youth group and being able to talk to people like Pastor Bob or Brett. I suggest these things to the people at my school who need Jesus in their lives. So use the armor of God to make the right decisions, forget the urge to lie, glorify Christ, and to share the good news with others. Amen.
Would you please open up to 1 Timothy Chapter 5, verses 24 through 25. The sins of some obvious.
What? Oh. My bad. My apologies, I got the wrong one. If you please open up to Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. My son, if you accept my words and the store of my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you call out for insight and crying aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and searching it for as for hidden treasure, and then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds the chest in store for the upright. He has a shield for those who walk the blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Since second scripture reading.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Claire Warner, and I'm a freshman at LS. And like many people in my generation, I love Harry Potter. Now, if you don't know who Harry Potter is, he's a magical teenage boy who is the center of the Harry Potter series, written by J.K. Rowling. In the series, he's fighting against a character called Voldemort, who killed Harry's parents along with many other people and wished to bring destruction to the end of the world. One of my favorite stories from the series is Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Now, if you're familiar with the story, there's a character called Gilroy Lockhart, and he claims knowledge of all great and spectacular. But later in the story, it is revealed that he is a fraud, and Harry, like always, ends up getting the wisdom he needs from Dumbledore. While I reread this story, I thought of this passage. Now, I know I'm connecting a fictional magical teenage boy to the Bible, but Harry is like us in the story, desperately trying to find understanding and wisdom. Sometimes he doesn't find the right person. Sometimes he's lost, just like you and me. But we, like Harry, have salvation, and we can reach out to God, and he will lift us up. Like Proverbs says, we are searching for him like a hidden treasure. But God is a treasure that will not remain hidden. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul writes, "It is because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." God reaches out to us through Jesus, and through many ways every day, giving us wisdom to face our demons. A lot of the time, though, we have Gilroy Lockharts that block out the chance to gain the wisdom we need. God only speaks wisdom to us. And like Dumbledore, it's kind of confusing. It's almost always not what we want at the moment. But then we begin to understand. Once you gain wisdom, what do you do with it? How do you understand it? Now, Harry doesn't always understand the wisdom he's given, but in situations where he needs to apply it, he begins to use it and begins to have understanding. Just like when we begin to understand the very little we will ever know, God protects us and holds us close. We should, like Harry, search for understanding and be active in the search. To begin that understanding and that never-ending search, we must first understand how spectacular and all-powerful God is. Not even Dumbledore can compare. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a stand, and gives light to all in the house. Matthew 5:15. And with that understanding and wisdom, we can share with others and give them light and free them from their demons, or masters, if you're a house elf. Amen.
If you would please open up to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 through 25. The sins of some oblivious reaching the place of judgment ahead of them. The sins of others trail behind them. In the same way, good deeds are obvious. And even those are not obvious cannot remain hidden forever. Since the third scripture reading.
Good morning. My name is Aaliyah Puffenberger, and I'm in ninth grade, and I have gone to this youth group about 2 years now. This is my first time ever preaching in front of an audience, so wish me luck. I'm going to start out this sermon with a hardcore statement. Sin is malicious. We try not to sin, but no matter how hard we try, we will never accomplish that goal. It seems that sin is devious. Evil is devious. They will try in any way possible to wiggle their way into our daily weaknesses. Evil is the energy and motivation of sin. It leads astray by blinding and blinds by leading astray. Sin causes none of us to be perfect. Sin causes the lowest descent in humanity. Were a perfect man to exist, he would be the last to know. We all point out our flaws because it is what we have been taught to do unintentionally. But confessing them to God and asking for forgiveness, that is a completely different story. Humans are vain. We all have selfish motives, but we are the murderer drinking the poison he had prepared for another. We are complete hypocrites. We think that as we sin, no one will realize or know, but God always knows. We are tourists of this world. God wants us to build a relationship with him, but we are sometimes unwilling, for we are afraid. How do you confess sins? It seems a lot easier to hide your sins without God. But that is untrue. It must be remembered that Christ died for our sins, but some of us believe that we have committed no sin. Who will ever be able to feel God when they do not feel what he has redeemed? We need to surrender. How can we know ourselves if we don't know God? We know not ourselves as sinners, since, from infancy, we have breathed the atmosphere of sin. We still breathe it. We will always breathe it. We are hardly conscious of our horrible deeds. As we grow, we copy others by example and force of habit, equally fostering the ignorance within every person. We are all broken, and we all believe that our obvious sins are to be punished while we can get away with vain hidden truths. Now we all know there are two kinds of easing an aching joint, healing the disease or paralyzing the limb. God is healthy. God is healing our aching souls and hearts, while other humans and ourselves only numb the pain. Believing that our sins are escapable is trying to numb the pain, numb a fear that we experience. Where punishment is not automatic and direct, we almost forget about our guilt. This world makes distinctions between what it calls small and great sins. But truly, aren't they all the same? Don't we all sin? Can we truly judge others without being hypocritical? The seeds of our sins are in our hearts, and perhaps it is more dangerous that we do not always see them. But Jesus Christ has cleansed my sins, but that does not mean I will go without punishment. In the same way, Jesus Christ has made me humble, but that doesn't mean I won't go without acknowledgement for my good deeds. Many of us have dug our own graves, but Jesus fills them back up with fresh, beautiful soil. And I can imagine, as our bodies truly die and our souls are shaking free from the coil of flesh they have inhabited, they begin to see what was truly wrong and right. They see things as they are, with no glasses covered in dirty fingerprints. Our deeds and true motives will become clear. One day, all of us will experience our own judgment day. We all deep inside nervously await for the day. But Jesus has already saved us. We are already free. As Charles Kingsley was dying, he said, "It is not darkness I am going to, for God is light." Amen.